SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two. Extended discussion with Scully and James rehashing some Breeders' Cup. And we're going to do a little bit more yet because Nick Luck will join us in hour three. And Arno Delacour joins us now. And it would not have taken much in the way of trip and head bobs and headlong charges to the wire for Chalon to win the filly and mare sprint. And Arno, that had to be about as harrowing or a finish as you've been involved in. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. It was an exciting race. I thought for a minute that we got it there, or for a second. But she ran an exceptional race, so really, really well.
You know, 15-1 in there, and what were your thoughts as you approached this? Because I think there were plenty of people, Arno, that fancied her. I mean, she had backers.
Yeah, she did. I mean, I think she was speaking. She really came into the race in great form. The fact that we couldn't run her this summer, she had to set up, so we had to fresh her up a little bit. So she really ran, and she's a very consistent filly when you look at her form. She wins or finishes second or gets placed a lot. So I think that's where it comes from. But I was very happy because we knew that 7 furlong was a touch long for her. I didn't think there was going to be a head long, you know. But she was legit.
This obviously something to build on, and you know she. As the year went on, you know, you mentioned the time off, between June and October, and of course she got beat ahead by Golden Mischief, and Golden Mischief was a bit of a talking filly coming into this for Brad Cox, and I think that, you know, people that were high on Golden Mischief, you know, knew to also, you know, make sure to at least keep an eye on Chalon and feather her into the tickets. You know, what have you seen from her as she has improved, you know, really from the spring when you started? Peter Miller had her going back to her 2 and 3 year old year. And, you know, for people who haven't noticed, you've improved her from the form she showed with Peter.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think so, but I think there's time to improve there, you know, the fact that from 3 to 4, she had a good winter break, came back, and we really took it easy with her. We started in, I would say, you know, kind of a easier stakes when we went to Laurel Park. We really tried to build her confidence, and I think that was the key there with her.
You know, you've got the advantage. You're one of those Fairhill trainers, and it is interesting that you've kind of moved her between the different training tracks at Fairhill. And I that's not lost on me that, you know, you've used her on the Tapeta. Sometimes she works, other times she works on the main track. What's your aim in that? Is there a fitness issue? Is there an interchangeability to it? What's the philosophy?
Well, to be honest with you, the weather has been so bad this year as far as precipitation. We had a lot of rain, and most of the time when we wanted to breathe, the course was sloppy or had just the amount of breather on the sloppy track. So she's been a few times on the Tapeta, as you mentioned. I wouldn't say that she liked it very much. She always breathes much better on the dirt, but she still gets something out of it, so it was good as far as fitness to breeze her on the synthetic. I didn't have any problem with that. Now, I wouldn't probably run her on it because she doesn't show enough on it for me to be competitive at the high level.
You know, we're right in the middle, too. We should mention, you know, we're in the middle of the just finishing today's closing day at Keeneland. She came out of the fall mix sale in 2017, and she was over $500,000, and so she came as a ready, you know, as a ready horse. Talk about the sales procedure and when the Jacksons reached out for her.
Well, Doc Cotton had an eye on her, you know, since the middle of the summer, basically. You know, he liked how she was going. And when she became available at the sales, you know, we thought that she'd be a good prospect. She was the last number at Fezzik Tipton, so maybe some people were gone a little bit before the end or something. We thought that we would have had to pay a little bit more for her because she was already multiple Grade 2 placed and stakes winner in New York. But we thought that the 520, something like that, she made a 550, were good value for her.
Well, and of course, you know, now subsequently with you know, with some more black type, including the Grade 1 black type, she is not a graded stake winner. She's a multiple stake winner and multiple graded stake and Grade 1 placed. So obviously, as you go forward with her, and she did have the time off, so she's not going to need really any time this winter. Talk about the plan going forward.
Well, she's already turned out now. We had to make a choice, you know, we're there. The Jackson want to keep her in training next year, and in order to do it properly and do the whole season next year, we decided to give her a little break now. The program is better and more diversified, you know, in the spring, summer, fall. So we thought that we'll kind of skip the winter and make her ready for the spring.
Very nice. So she's raced her last for the year, and she had 5 starts this year, 2 wins, and 3 seconds, including in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, the TCA, and the Vagrancy. So really about as nice a year as a horse can have. The back to the Filly and Mare Sprint for a minute, and, you know, it really did take a brilliant ride by Rad Ortiz. It's been talked about extensively. Certainly, Arno, what a fortuitous trip Shamrock Rose had. Chalone is really the only horse that attended the pace, that was close to the hot pace, that finished. I mean, she ran the quote-unquote best race of those 4 finishers.
I was very happy with the ride. I thought that Ravier gave us a winning ride. He rode the feed in the TCA, so he knew a little bit what to expect. She's got a lot of speed, and she's probably a true 6-year-long filly. So we knew that 7-8 was a little bit of a stretch. But I thought Ravier did a great job when he actually took back in the backside, put her on the rail, and just let her settle there. I thought that the trip was a winning move. It took a very good filly and a very good ride from Shamrock Rose to beat her.
Well, it's still a terrific result, and we'll look forward. And obviously, you'll target the Breeders' Cup again and work her way through, pick out a schedule, and you know where you're going to want to be come November of 2019. Well done, Arno. Let's also talk about what was happening in New York. And at least when it came to this race, it was over at noon, basically. It was the first race on Saturday of the Breeders' Cup. And that gave you time to look forward to watching No Dozing in the Bold Ruler. And actually, wait a minute. The Bold Ruler, I think, was run on opening day at Aqueduct on Friday. So you'd been able to. Right. That's right. That's right. Right. Talk about that was a performance people may have missed, but he was tremendous.
No, I agree. He ran a beautiful race. It seems that he liked the track at Aqueduct. I mean, it's the second time he ran over there, and the first time that was in the Ram 10 when he was 2. He finished a good second, going minus, which was probably a little too far for him, looking back at it. And I thought that the Bold Ruler was really encouraging.
You know, he's a gelding, so I'm going to basically suggest the AP Indian routine for him. You know, talk about his development and what you can, you know, what you can do with him going forward.
I think it's a true 7 furlong half, 7 furlongs to a mile. It being there at more, I would say, like natural speed than no dosing. But no dosing is a fun horse because he's been improving. He had all the time. You know, he had a pretty hard 3-year-old campaign when you look at it. We ran against some salty horses, and he came back very well, obviously. So he's a fun horse, you know, for the future. He's gelding, and I think that improved him a little bit. He had some little bit of behavior issues, being very nervous in the post parade, like when he was 3, and being a little bit unfocused. And I think that the fact that he's a gelding helped him a lot.
This is this also, of course, is Leal, and he's a Union Rags out of a Pulpit mare. And you talk about the company he's kept. You know, it really. From day one, I mean, back when we talked about him as a 3-year-old and when he was on potentially the Triple Crown trail, you pretty much by late spring identified him as a one-turn horse.
Yes, because we, you know, we had plenty of opportunity to run 2 turns, and it looked like he was kind of missing a little bit of kick at the end. And we couldn't really use his speed as much as we wanted to. So the fact that we came back to 7 furlongs or a mile, and we figured out in the pad day, when he ran in the pad day, he ran a good race, missed the break, circled the field, and ran a very game second. And from there on, I had in my mind that he'd be a good, 7 furlongs to a mile horse.
Cigar Mile in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, that definitely will be looking at it. It depends a little bit of who's going. So I understood that Minor Biscuit is obviously retired. So that's one less to worry about, one good horse to worry about. But I'm sure that he'll come up plenty strong enough. But looks like he's coming, at the right time to run in that kind of races.
Well, and of course, in the Kelso, he basically was chasing and then... It kind of got swamped a little bit late, but if he runs back to this performance in the Bold Ruler, he's obviously a major, major player.
I hope so. I want to believe so.
Well, and again, nice to have a horse like this, and it is interesting, being by Union Rags and the Pulpit mare. It you would think that. That the 2 turns. It's funny how much of it with him is physical when you see how he's grown and changed and matured from 3 to 4.
He's grown a little bit. He's a little bit stronger, but he was a beautiful 3-year-old. So we liked him then. And I'm not saying that he will not be effective going 2 turns. But I'd like to see him settle a little bit more in order to go to 10. In the Kelso, he's a little bit aggressive. You see, like on the beat, almost a little too much. And the Bold Ruler was 7 furlongs, and he could use his speed and use his stride, and that was his best asset, really. In the future, if he settled a little bit, I wouldn't be opposed to running back to 10. But at the moment, I think we're on the right track to go 1-10.
And Daniel Centeno, who did ride him quite a bit as a younger horse, you had Centeno, and of course with a lot of a lot of the New York riders out of town for Breeders' Cup, Centeno came up and rode. Is he going to be the regular rider again for no dosing these days?
Well, I would say so, because I thought that Rosario was a great fit for no dosing. And Rosario liked him, but the fact that the Bold Ruler was cancelled and back on Breeders' Cup weekend, we had to choose another jockey. And I understood that he's going back on the West Coast for the winter season, and he won't be there for the Cigar Mile. So it's pretty much an easy decision for me to make, because I think he's riding at Santa Anita, on Cigar Mile. So that's a non-brainer. Or Del Mar, I would say. I think it's Del Mar. Mm-hmm.
Well, on the topic of Centeno and stakes horses, what about tomorrow? We don't know that, you know, how likely things are to go on the grass, Arno. It's been so difficult. You talk about the lousy weather, and a special envoy is on the AE list. You would think if they do run on the grass tomorrow, the Red Smith, that somebody will come out from the body of the race, given the what will be soft turf. What's your feel for what we're going to see tomorrow?
I probably won't run him. Because the soft turf hasn't been his best, you know, his best ground. You know, he can run on good ground on soft, really. He hasn't been very efficient on soft. So I will probably scratch him tomorrow and find a, you know, race in Florida, you know, something like the Fort Lauderdale or something like that, which will be a little more to his liking as far as grass. He's been terribly unlucky this year because we couldn't run him, you know. He's all the time it was off the turf or a turf that he disliked. So the horse is fresh and ready to go, but I don't think tomorrow is the right spot.
Well, and of course today off the turf, and you were potentially going to be involved with Erickson, a Green Lantern product and an Oasis Dream filly. What's her potential? To you going to give her a try on the dirt, or are you going to wait?
Probably going to wait. I mean, we've liked her all along. She had a few setbacks this summer, so we didn't really want to rush her. But she really looks like a turf filly to me, the way she breathes, the way she moves. But I don't think that you know, it's going to be very smart to run her on the dirt. Same story. We'll wait for Florida and find a good spot down there.
It's so frustrating, and we've talked so much not just over the fall, Arno, but during the summer, Saratoga, with the rain that made things so difficult, and for owners and for trainers, it's just maddening. I mean, you tie down the screws and you tighten the horse up and get them ready for a spot, and then next thing you know, now you got to back off, and you just don't know when you're going to run, so it makes it hard, and it's a little tough for the horse too, because now you're going to back off, and do you keep them on edge, do you let them down a little bit? I mean, it's so hard.
It is indeed. I mean, it's been a frustrating season. In the meantime, you know, some people have it. I did worse than we had, you know, with like gigantic storm or wildfire. So I can't really complain. But it's true that it makes it a little bit difficult. But hopefully, we'll have a decent enough season in Florida that we can run, you know, most of them, put them in a racing momentum, and get something out of it.
I got to ask you about a maiden potentially tomorrow at Laurel that looks like she might be something worth following. Tell us about Luna Fortis.
She's a nice filly. She's been breathing very well. She doesn't have a huge cruising speed. I think she'll be a 2-turn filly. The race was initially scheduled to go -16, which is a 2-turn on the dirt at Laurel, and for some reason it went like a flat mile, which is a 1-turn race. So it might be not to her liking. But in the meantime, she's ready to go, and we need to start somewhere. So I expect her to be a little bit out of run at the beginning and not really pick up some horses at the end.
That's in the first race tomorrow, and she drew well. She drew outside. This is a filly that was bred by Macmer Hall and was a $160,000 purchase for Mark Greer and out of the Malibu Moonmare. This is a horse people should put in their watch list. I got a feeling, Arno. Right? I kind of sniffed her out. I don't know why. There's a couple of things that seem very appealing about her, even if we have to wait until Tampa, down the road later on this. You know, this winter. Well, you've got. It seems like a very full barn that is ready to go. And how many horses are you going to leave up north? How many are you going to bring down to Tampa Bay?
So we're going to keep nothing up north.
Okay.
And we split our barn between Tampa Bay and Ocala in the winter. In Ocala, I usually bring, you know, horses that had a break, or older horses, because they can be turned out and kind of have a mini break of a day. It's not the stress of the training. and our younger horses will go to Tampa and run. So that's a little bit how we're going to proceed this winter.
Let me ask you about one more two-year-old before I let you go, and that's the Ontario bred, the colt, Mind the Gap. What do you got here?
I liked him. He's been very nice, a little bit immature. He's been immature all year. You know, you could tell that he needed to learn his job. So that's going to be his third race, and I've been happy with his progression. It seems that he's very versatile. He can run on turf or dirt. So I'm hoping for a good race.
Is he? Does he have Queen's Plate aspirations?
But we'll see how he develops. But he's definitely a horse that I like.
Mind the Gap, a Street Sense colt that making a third start and seemed to have progressed pretty well from his first start at Delaware on the turf, and then he caught slop at Laurel and Sunday in the second race, going a mile and a 16th, and drew the four hole. So it seems like a good spot for him. He was more involved in the pace in that second start, and this is an interesting player. It seems like a reasonable purchase last year at Keeneland is a yearling too, $45,000 out of an AP Indy mare. Certainly not a bad looking page.
No, definitely. I think he's a nice choice.
Very nice. Mind the Gap. Well, Arno, great to catch up with you. You had a terrific Breeders' Cup weekend within literally a head bob of a Breeders' Cup filly and mare sprint win for Chalone and graded stake victory. At Aqueduct on opening day with no dozing. Nice weekend for the Leal team. Best wishes for a happy Thanksgiving to you and Lee, and we look forward to maybe seeing you Cigar Mile Day.
That'd be great. Thank you very much, Steve. It was nice chatting, and we'll see how it goes.
Absolutely. Arno Delacour, everybody, who really has, he and wife Lee, they've become fixtures, the Northeast, and with a lot of good different kinds of horses. Interesting that these two successes in particular came with sprinters. And of course, AP Indian, too, for Green Lantern, sprinter. But I want you to keep an eye on these two horses we brought up here today. Let's take a break. We're going to turn our eyes toward Mary Rampolini, and Mary will cover maybe four different racetracks in 15 minutes because she's got an eye out for Delta this weekend. Zia, which yesterday, if you didn't notice this, Zia Park drew their Land of Enchantment card, which is always a nice kickoff to the Thanksgiving season. And it includes the Zia Park Oaks and the Zia Park Derby, $250,000 each. Some very familiar names in there. Plus, they have that distance championship, the mile and the eighth race for older horses. Plus, some minor stakes, and there's some rich quarter horse racing that Mary's been tracking as well this weekend. And it's kind of a in between weekend for DRF because a few people are away. Dave Grenig is off, and Steve Anderson is away. So there's a couple of different people keeping eyes on areas that they don't necessarily always watch. Dunleavy is covering Aqueduct this week with Grenig vacationing. So Jay Pribman doing everything in Southern California with Steve Anderson away. But Mary, from Arizona to Louisiana, she's got it all covered. She'll join us next. Second half, weekend preview at the races. Ed DeRosa to come, and Hammer and Nick Luck. These next 90 minutes. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hias for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hias.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Pick on Sirius XM Radio.
Everyone's a winner, baby. That's the truth.
That's the truth.
Back at the races, a little bit past the bottom of hour two on this Friday weekend preview, and really holiday preview, because Thanksgiving is looming large, less than a week away. Everybody's favorite. And in fact, you know, I told you I talked to Johnny D driving back from Rochester yesterday, and everyone is anticipating the Johnny D Ode to Thanksgiving, which will come on Monday. It's one of the most anticipated segments of the year when Johnny tells you everything he loves about Thanksgiving. And he makes it fresh. Somehow he's kept it fresh over the last 13 years. And we'll see how his 14th ode to Thanksgiving on Monday. We always give thanks for Mary Rampolini, who can cover 7 racetracks all at once. Nobody does it better. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Happy early Thanksgiving.
And to you, where will you spend it?
I will be spending it with my parents and my siblings in the Dallas area.
So back to Texas for you.
Nice. It's nice, kind of a tradition, as we all have our traditions. It's kind of fun. It's going to be probably in the 60s, so it'll be a very pleasant Thanksgiving.
Excellent. Well, in the meantime, you got plenty that has kept you busy. And every, you know, as I was sort of keeping tabs on what was coming up, and that included the visit I had on Wednesday with Marcus Hirsch, looking forward to Fairgrounds opening. And then, you know, as I'm looking at the Louisiana action, I looked over at Delta, and, you know, there were the two remnants from Princess and Jackpot days. Tonight, the Treasure Chest, and tomorrow, the Delta Mile. And, you know, Mary, it's a little bittersweet, maybe even less than that, because the Mile felt like a race that was headed toward being graded. And the move away from the big Jackpot day on the calendar, which we understand completely. I had the discussion with Marcus, but, you know, to see this race, you know, $75,000 purse, it's got a nice field. And then, of course, the two Louisiana undercard races, the Stakes, the Jewel, and the Legacy, respectively, tomorrow and tonight. Talk a little bit about the Delta cards.
Yes, just like you said, normally this would be a Delta down jackpot weekend. We'd be heading down to South Louisiana, to Vinton, Louisiana, for their big night. But some of those stakes, like you said, the stakes that were on that big program are going to appear this weekend. Friday night, they have the Treasure Chest, and that's for fillies and mares going a mile. And Americium is a nice claim that M&M Racing and trainer Carl Broberg made. She's going for her second stakes win for them. She's a nice filly in there, and then they do feature the two-year-old fillies that are Louisiana breds going a mile, and Silver Sense should be a filly to watch in there. And then, like you said, Saturday they have the Delta Mile, which at one point, I believe the purse went up to about $250,000 for this race.
Yeah.
When it was part of the Jackpot undercard, and yes, it was drawing just really great horses. You know, you have had a great field. Now, this is a very competitive field. It's a $75,000 race this year, and you've got an interesting horse, Line Judge, who came in and won the Jean Lafitte at 2 a few years back. He's a four-year-old now, coming in for trainer Tom Amos. He's going for 3 in a row, and Secret Passage is kind of an interesting horse. He's won 3 of his last 4. He's coming in from Belmont Park for Robertino Diodoro, who is now, he has a division at Delta. This is the first year he set up shop there. So he's had the horse down in Delta a few weeks. And, you know, obviously we had a little fun writing about this the other day because the horse is going from a mile and a half oval, winning at Belmont Park, coming into a 6-furlong oval at Delta. So that's kind of the long and short of it, to say the least. And then you've got another nice Louisiana bred Under Pressure. I could see him using this race possibly as a springboard maybe to Louisiana Champions Day. And Lacito Rojo is a horse who won the Vanderlyn Mile. So that's another strong entrant. But maybe the most interesting is Rise Up, who is an old Delta Downs jackpot winner. He's 7 now, and he's in this race. But he did win the jackpot as a 2-year-old at Delta. But he's also cross-entered at Remington Park, so I don't know what direction he'll go.
Well, and you bring up Rise Up, and that makes me also look over to Tom Amos, who's got Line Judge in here for Maggie Moss. And this is a horse that Amos and Maggie kind of claimed back after Maker had poached you know, this spring at last colt. And, you know, certainly that 50 claimer try going back to Churchill in September, that would be a pretty strong effort matched up in here. This is a good race. There's no set plan. You know, Secret Passage, you know, rightly point out, but there's a number of ways to go in here. I thought this came up. This was always a favorite of mine, Mary, over the years. I always thought that it was on its way to being a graded stake, and it but it's still holding its own here in this version for 75.
And I think it probably falls on a nice spot on the calendar because, you know, Fairgrounds is starting to gear up now. This will send some of these horses will go into the Fairgrounds Older Horse Series, Handicap Series. And then, you know, some of them are going to wait for Oaklawn that I've talked to. They're going to wait for that Oaklawn Series. So you've kind of got these horses in the region, Steve, that are waiting on maybe some bigger prizes. But the history of it, like you said, I agree with you. It certainly looked like it was on a path to be graded. Also on that same card Saturday night at Delta is Louisiana Legacy, and I think a horse that's going to be of interest to people is that Cafe Du Monde. He was second to Trophy Chaser when Trophy Chaser ran through the bridle there at Gulfstream Park. He won the maiden specialweight down there with a buyer speed figure of 96. That huge race he won in double digits. Well, this horse, Cafe Du Monde, is back in, I should say, for Saturday night at Delta. Kind of an interesting horse. Nice little group of two-year-old Louisiana breds going a mile.
Well, and that's for Leo Gabriel and Café Du Monde off of Jackson Square, Mary. The Café Du Monde, the famous Benet shop right on the river off of Jackson Square with the coffee and you got the chicory-flavored coffee and one of the, you know, it's funny. Some people will feel like it's a tourist trap, but it's not. It's everything it's cracked up to be, believe me.
So next time you're nice to hear.
Well, you got, we're going to get you to Cafe Du Monde, and next time you're in New Orleans, I want you to make an effort, all right?
I have to tell you, there's one trick there. I don't drink coffee, but I'll find something else to do.
Ooh, all right. Well, they'll come up with something for you.
That's probably why I hadn't been there.
All right. Well, when you write this race up, and if Café Du Monde wins, you can make the reference to the famed Benet shop and watch out for that powdered sugar. I'm going to put up a picture of Tina. I brought Tina there a couple of years ago for when we were in for Risen Star Week, and I got a great picture of Tina with the, you know, they put like a pound of powdered sugar over the Benets, and it goes everywhere. You end up with powdered sugar all over your clothes, and it's pretty funny.
Your recommendations are awesome, so that is a great recommendation for sure.
We'll get you there. I'm hoping to get back. We're hoping to get back to New Orleans again for Risen Star Week, actually, because it follows the NHC. The NHC in Vegas is the 8th, 9th, and 10th. And so I was actually doing some winter planning this morning.
Travel back through. Nice.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm leaning toward that. Mary, let's talk about some of the other things that you've been following, including a big quarter horse action this weekend, the rich quarter horse action. And then I certainly was impressed with the fields that came together for Zia on Wednesday. For those that are looking ahead, the Zia Park Derby and Oaks and Land of Enchantment Day Wednesday for people that... we'll not be doing the Thanksgiving prep work on Wednesday night.
Yes, I'll go in chronological order. Like you said, Los Alamitos will be the host site for the Bank of America Challenge Championships, and that's kind of a gathering of some of the top quarter horses in racing, meeting that have won individual qualifiers throughout the country and in other locales, actually, not just restricted to North America, and they kind of meet for different divisions. So the main event is the Challenge Championship. That's a grade one, $250,000 race Saturday night at Los Alamitos, and it's that classic distance of 440 yards, and it's a very competitive group. What you've got a horse by the name B.H. Lisa's Boy. He's a multiple grade one winner. He's the third-ranked horse on the AQHA's latest poll of three-year-olds and up is how they categorize one of their voting categories. And so he's third best horse right now in the country considered, and certainly is an interesting contender in there. And you also have a champion in Hold Air Hostage breaking to his outside. So that is a big card. There are a total of 8 stakes. 5 of them are those Challenge Championship divisions. And those races are worth a collective $800,000. And kind of the quarter horse divisions are getting very interesting now because you have Jesse's First Down. He's the two-time defending world champion. He's scheduled to run back at Sunlin at the end of the year. This race could produce an interesting horse. You have the Champion of Champions coming back at LaSalle. So kind of that older horse division is all coming together as they kind of bid for championship titles as well, let alone just those victories in those Grade 1 races that are forthcoming.
Mary, speaking of and this is some nice card, the Champion of Champions, I don't think is the same Sunday, unfortunately, as the, you know, for those that might be around for Starlet and Futurity at LaSalle. I don't think it's the same weekend
this
year.
It's the 15th, Steve. It's the 15th. Does that help?
Okay.
The 15th. That's the date of the big race. I know you've gone over and enjoyed that race in the past. I know we've talked about that. So
It's funny because last night, and I will tell this, that I happened to have worn my Champion of Champions T-shirt.
Very nice.
From to bed last night, and they give out that T-shirt, and with He's a Dash of Fire, and who was the other that was a terrific pairing that year, and that was one of the coolest things, the double header, in fact, that happened that
right.
year. The Futurity and the Starlet were in the afternoon, and then Jay Pribman and I and John White and Tracy Gans, we all went to dinner at a place that Frank Miramati, an Italian joint that Frank told us about behind LaSalle. And then we came back, and Jay and I stayed for the Champion of Champions, my first experience, and the scene in the Vessels Club, and it was really special and really unique. And I unfortunately, that 15th is the next weekend. It isn't the same weekend this year as Starlet and Futurity, unfortunately. So, but if you've never been, and the whole atmosphere at LaSalle in the evenings for that kind of a card, really cool. I really enjoyed it, that experience.
I tell you, there's nothing like seeing a good quarter horse in full flight. You have to respect a good quarter horse. They're really spectacular, and the speeds that they get to, it's exciting to watch that kind of a race on the rail.
Well, and then I think that the same weekend they usually run the $2 million race, right? The Futurity is the same weekend.
For the babies, I know Steve Anderson. Yeah, Steve Anderson primarily covers LaSalle. I'm just filling in for him this particular week. But yes, yeah, I know they stack those stakes. A lot of opportunities. Obviously, a first class quarter horse meet.
It's pretty remarkable that you got two-year-old quarter horses running for $2 million, the same purse as Triple Crown events. I mean, it speaks to the whole Futurity system, that, you know, that the nomination schedule and the payments and the way that money accrues. It's remarkable.
Yeah, it's another whole world for sure. And speaking of which, as you know, the All American Futurity is up to $3 million now. So
unbelievable.
It's an unbelievable, like you said, program.
Let's turn to next week. They drew that card, and I saw you write the advance on it. They got a terrific day of racing at Zia on Wednesday.
Yeah, a lot of California influence, Steve, for the Land of Enchantment card. That's going to be seven thoroughbred stakes. They restructured this a little bit this year, worth $1 million. And the Zia Park Oaks had kind of been the marquee race. This is the eve of Thanksgiving, Wednesday, November 21st, this coming Wednesday. And they took part of that purse and they kind of restructured this. They've taken the quarter horse races that were part of this card and put them on their own showcase day on December 2nd. They've made this a straight thoroughbred card for Wednesday night. The director of racing there, Matt Crawford, he's added a couple two-year-old stakes. And so that kind of makes things fun. And he's made the Oaks and the Derby the same purse. So they're both at $250 because they'd like to kind of co-feature those. And, of course, their hope remains to see a grade on these races. But the Zia Park Oaks has drawn a really interesting filly in Secret Spice, who's coming off a very big race for trainer Richard Baltus at Santa Anita. She won the mile allowance out there by double digits, and with that 105 buyer speed figure, she's going to look very strong on paper in a race that also drew She's a Julie, a real quality filly for trainer Steve Asmussen, and Cosmic Burst, a very nice filly for trainer Donnie Von Hemel. So really a nice matchup. A lot of jocks coming in, top jocks coming in to ride. The Zia Derby has like four individuals that last ran in California going in this spot. And you also have a very interesting horse, Sky Promise, who swept the three derbies available in Western Canada, the Manitoba, the Canadian, and the BC Derby earlier this year. So he's a very unique horse. But the California Invaders include Yulong Warrior for trainer Doug O'Neill, Restrained Vengeance, Airstrike, and All Out Blitz. So a nice mix of horses there, Steve.
Well, these are both good races. And, you know, She's a Julie, you know, after the Remington Park Oaks, I had kind of expected her, you know, to keep, you know, to take the next logical step. And I thought that, you know, the summer that she had, starting with the Iowa Oaks and then, you know, the good second behind Eskimo Kisses in the Alabama, and then she followed it up with the Remington Oaks win at Even Money. And it really felt like she was, you know, the progressive late-season three-year-old filly, and it seems like Steve Asmussen and Whispering Oaks, that they kind of backed off a little bit on her. Was there any issue, or was that just because she had had such a full campaign up to that point into September?
You know, I remember talking to Steve about her following the Remington Park Oaks, and very immediately the plan was to point for Zia. I talked to him a few days after that race, and that was the schedule they set out for her. So for me, from my perspective in interviewing Steve about her, this has been the target for her.
Interesting. And you know, I also note the presence of Team Hanley, and I'm just going to assume that that's Jay Hanley, and of course said goodbye to Lady Eli at the November sale. And is he a new addition to the ownership line? Did he buy in with Whispering Oaks?
I believe they were in for that last race,
okay.
But I don't know that off the top of my head. But no, I believe they were in for the Remington Park Oaks, definitely, if not the Alabama. I'd have to go back and look on that.
No, so. I can check the charts, too.
I know, I'm pretty sure they were there for Remington. I do recall that. So
interesting. All right. I really came to really be impressed with She's a Julie. And looking at the boys' race, one of my early season fanboy horses was Combatant, and it really never came together for him. He kept getting minor awards, and here he basically feels like this is a kickoff to, you know, toward his 4-year-old season.
Yeah, you know, he didn't really have a great trip in the Oklahoma Derby. He's kind of a horse that, it wouldn't surprise me to see him get it done here at Zia. You know, he's been a very consistent horse, and he's got to be get one of these, doesn't he, Steve? One of these days, huh?
You would hope. I mean, I liked him. I understood, you know, everything that they tried to do, and you know, he had the look of you know, a creator type in the Asmussen barn. You know, the late runner that was going to, you know, pick up shares, and it he kept nosing around, but just couldn't really keep up with the, you know, with the top level 3-year-olds by that point in the year. And then the logical tries on grass, given that he's a scat daddy, you know, they did all the right things, and I would, you know, maybe he just needs a little bit of maturity. I sure hope he didn't plateau, you know, in the spring with those board hits at Oaklawn early 3-year-old. I mean, which is a possibility, Mary, that he was precocious and you know, he's as good as he's gonna be.
Yeah, he was sharp. You know, yeah, like, I mean, he won the one turn mile, won his maiden in a one turn mile, and I actually like to move to a mile and a 16th with him. He's shortening up from a mile and an eighth a little, so I do think that's in his favor. And maybe he'll get kind of a good setup here, you know. There is, you know, definitely going to be some speed with the California horses in there.
Well, and Yulong Warrior's presence. Yulong Warrior, very cleverly sent up to Emerald by Doug O'Neill and got that that getaway day derby or getaway
yes.
day stake win that he poached. Limation, you know, who was so good at Louisiana Downs for Asmussen, and then really kind of folded when yes. it came to Remington. So.
Part of that pace war, yeah, sure,
yeah.
sure. He certainly bounced back in the Super Derby, so maybe he's a type of horse that could run really well too. You know, I think it's very evenly matched. I don't know. I just think it's a very evenly matched race, to be honest with you. So
nice.
The only
nice.
Thing
well.
That does stand out to me a little bit is, I mean, you do have to like All Out Blitz coming off a second to Battle of Midway, so and. Coming, you know, back into a straight three-year-old spot.
Right.
And knocking heads
Absolutely.
With the older horses. So, I mean, maybe he's your favorite. So,
well, and we should also mention the distance champion, although I they're not calling it, I guess, the distance championship anymore. They're calling it the championship handicap, the mile in the eighth race. And, you know, where's the horse that was in this, who am I thinking of, that for years that seemed to run in this race every year?
Was it Horace Mouse?
No. I should go. I Shotgun Cowboy's here, and he certainly.
He's a regular. Although, I actually think I know who you're talking about, and it's I don't have that answer.
It was a Henry Dominguez horse.
Yes, but not Forrest Mouse. The other one. I know. Did Song of Navarone? You're not. He wasn't here.
Song of Navarone. Yeah, he fits the bill. He fits the bill.
He was. But he's not the one. I don't think he's the one you're talking about. Yes, he fits.
It was as if they couldn't run the race without him for years. It felt like, but it's a good.
It's a Smarty Jones. It was a Smarty Jones horse. It was, I think, that horse that you're talking about.
I'll find it. I'll find it later today.
I looked up one thing for you. She's a Julie. Team Hanley's been in for the last two starts. So
okay. Okay.
Just FYI, according to my records that I just looked at. So
good job.
Anyways. Yeah, but yeah, no. This is the Shotgun Cowboy coming in here, coming off the Oklahoma Classics win, and there's a lot of Oklahoma horses coming over too for these races. And I think he'll be one of the favorites. I think Forever Mo for Britland Stable will get good support as well in there. And Harlan Punch is a horse that's a nice horse. And speaking of Harlan Punch, David Jacobson owned. Justin Evans trained here in New Mexico. Star Walking Dudes on the undercard too.
Excellent. I only printed the three big dollar races.
Yeah, so Star Walking Dudes is going to run in the sprint, like you said. He's been down in there. This will be his third New Mexico start. He's coming off a second in kind of a stakes prep, the local stakes prep, and he's in. For Jacobson, but Justin Evans is training them there in the New Mexico market. And so that's kind of interesting. And then, you know, the Princess, this Adventurous Lady, is a really nice filly for trainer Steve Asmussen that's been in this market, this region. And I think she's going for her fourth straight win. She'll go in the Princess, one of the two-year-old stakes.
Excellent. Well, it's a nice it's a nice card, and people should be aware of it. And it's an afternoon, right? It's like a late
You're right,
afternoon
yes.
card.
It's going to start at noon mountain time. Yeah. So from a mountain standpoint, it starts at noon. And the big races, 3:36 mountain is the Zia Park Oaks, and 4:03 mountain is the Zia Derby. So.
Well, Mary, I appreciate this adventure from Delta to Zia to out to Los Al and everywhere in between. As always, we're amazed at you know all the ubiquitous assignments that you have to field, and we wish you and the family a really wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll catch up with you, you know, as your as your wanderings demand.
Absolutely. And Steve, I wish you and all your listeners the very best, a very wonderful Thanksgiving.
Mary Rampolini, everybody, DRF Rampolini, and all different places. I mean, sometimes she has to do stuff for Charleston, and you name it. I mean, she's just incredible. Mary can do it all. Coming up toward the top of the hour, we got Hammer to come, and Nick Luck. Got to get an Ed DeRosa visit in as well. And I'm the Henry Dominguez, I'm thinking of maybe, was it Isn't He Clever? Remember, Isn't He Clever, maybe? There was a horse that ran in that race, it seemed. I'm going to have to go look up charts of the Distance Championship, now known as the Zia Park Championship Handicap. It was definitely a Henry Dominguez. Song of Navarone, maybe. Isn't He Clever? Yeah. I love it. Back after this, Hour 3, Weekend Preview. Really the start of the holiday racing season. Hammer joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund direct deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.